kind together.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Here Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I'm your host, Rachel C. We're kicking off Poetry Month tonight with my guests, Bill Lessard and Mary Boo Anderson. And on that note, I've got a little something from a poet. Well, we know him as a poet. You might know him as a hip-hop artist. He had a cool track he dropped some time ago. It's been covered recently. It's out on the airwaves. You might be hearing it. And I think you all need to hear the original. This is Reparations List of Demands from Saul Williams.
We aim to remember what we choose to forget. God's just a baby, and a diaper is wet.
Call the police, I'm strapped to the teeth, and liable to disregard your every belief. Calling the law, I'm fixing the draw. Allow me to what isn't seen to call up a brawl. Calling them now, cause it's about to go pow. I'm standing on a threshold of the ups and the downs. Call up the truth, because I'm about to break loose. We're taking it, cause then I'm breaking.
Right, we heard that was Reparations List of Demands from Saul Williams. Saul Williams was someone who, he's hip hop artist, but also an acclaimed poet. He was the force behind a stage play years ago about the life of Tupac. He brought his art to the stage. He's been around a long time, and I've been wanting to play that one because I'm kind of digging out of the crate because it's been covered recently, and it's kind of like, okay, with all due respect to the artists that have done the cover, there's something about the original. Something coming from, it's his words from his mouth. You're listening to Here and Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn, the show that celebrates live performance culture. On that note, I'm going to tell you about some things to go out and do because I want you to go out and do the thing. The big one is tonight. It's okay. It hasn't started yet. You can hear the show and go out after. this April 5th, we have our latest edition of RFB Presents First Thursdays at the Well, where we bring you three different takes on exciting exploding music scene that is currently taking place in Brooklyn. First Thursday of the month, you go to the Well, you see a show, it's on us. Well, for 10 of your dollars, it's all on you. Tonight, we've got a really cool lineup. We're opening up with post-punk rock of Even Twice. Street Throat will follow, and they're a band that is not afraid to leave it all on stage. And closing out the evening will be Voreen in all their deviant glory as they mix old favorites with new material from their upcoming release. So the Well is 272 Mesrill Street, literally like up the hill and around the bend from here. Like literally, I love saying that about a Brooklyn venue. It's up the hill, it's around the bend, but it really is. So go and check that out. Also, there are some exciting things happening on the show this month, next week. Straight from Chile, Jaime Rojas will be visiting us. He is a playwright and songwriter. He's written a show. He's written basically a rock opera, and he's here to talk about that. And 2 weeks from now, we'll have Castle Black in. At the end of the month, I will be in Austin. I am leaving the show in the capable hands of the one and only Matt Townsend. So listen in and have some fun. So I am joined tonight by Bill Essard and Mary Boo Anderson. They co-host and co-produce, co-put together a series here in Brooklyn called The Cool as Fuck Reading Series. I can say that here. It's internet radio. But that's not all. You guys have been around a long time. You're always doing and always writing. Bill especially is one of those. Mary's nodding feverishly. It's like Bill and I have managed to communicate all. We managed to set this up tonight despite our hectic schedules and lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it too meta for me to say that I'm really glad to be on here? And, you know, it's like, you know, longtime listener, first time guest, you know, and I just think you guys have great taste. You're basically the radio equivalent of what we do with our series.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, let's start there then. Rather than going where you guys came from, let's start with what's happening now then. We can talk about, you know, you guys have your poets, but also various writing poet projects and multimedia projects a little bit. But the Cool as Fuck series is the ongoing thing you're doing. We were just talking before the show about things about the scene, certain trends, if you will, but also the way the creativity happens. You're talking about the role of technology and things like that. Let's talk about what's happening now. You mentioned the series you're doing. Do we want to start there, since it seems like where the conversation is went?
You know, it's the idea of it, and, you know, Mary is free to disagree here. The idea of it is, let's do a poetry series and a, you know, indie writing series more generically.
Right.
That is as passionate about performance as we are about the work itself. Too many readings that we've been to is they're more like boring as fuck or pretentious as fuck, or I want to hang myself, you know, sleepy as fuck, you know.
I'm laughing but not disagreeing.
You know, you know, like, I don't know about you, but if I read or hear a really good poem, it gives me, I want to break shit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I get like, damn, I want to go nuts, you know. And that's the kind of feeling that we've tried to bring to what we're doing when we curate the show. I myself, I've been at readings and you're performing, you're putting out all of this energy, and you're looking at people and they might as well be sitting in a library. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, come on, give me something back here.
Right.
I like performing myself for like semi quasi or perhaps, you know, completely drunk audiences, you know, but ones that are on my side, you
right,
know,
right.
It's like Drunk Poet Society. You know, we want that kind of vibe.
Well, poetry there's poetry that can be performed, and, you know, some poetry, you know, it will really jump at you off the page. The word, it comes alive, but it needs to be performed when it's recited live. Or is there some poetry that might not jump off the page at you, but it's kind of written to be presented in a certain way? Like, there's a real presentation of the poetry. I always thought poetry as performance art was brilliant, and a lot of brilliant performance art that's out there. Street performers, they're poets. They're doing things in a, with a beat and a cadence. It's like, so you're trying to bring what, you know, when I was doing a lot of when I was on the open mic scene many years ago and doing a lot of things, I fell into the role of poet or spoken word artist because it's kind of what I was doing. But it's, you performed it. It wasn't just, so it seems like it and that got very popular though. Like to the point where you had an HBO series called Deaf Poetry, which was wonderful. It gave a voice nationally, internationally to, like, you know, people that I knew, and, you know, it was wonderful. And people I might not have otherwise known because they were from other cities, connected people. But so you're basically like that kind of dissipated and trying to bring that back. It sounds like,
well, it's sort of like a, you know, a call to arms, you know, among people who want to have fun. I mean, a lot of it is just like, hey, listen, you know, writing is a very solitary activity. You know, why don't you put on your pants and come over to this series, read or just listen and have some fun. But there's another aspect to it as well. The whole idea of coolness as a frame, you know. So we're not saying, you know, cool, certain sexual, you know, identity, you know, as fuck, or cool this or cool that. It's like when you're in our house, you're cool, you know, and everybody wants to be cool. I don't care who you are and what you say otherwise. But the other aspect of it is that it's kind of a Warhol thing. It's like, you know, the New York scene is very divided. It's very kind of atomized. There isn't like, you don't say, you know, if you want poetry, go to Greenwich Village. There is no Greenwich Village. There's like nothing there but really expensive real estate and, like, you know, like spas for your dog or, you know, like stuff that you don't want. There's no neighborhood associated with poetry. It's all atomized. So how do you find the center of something that has no center? Mm-hmm. The whole thing is like the Warhol thing. And I'm going to talk a lot about Warhol because I love Warhol. It's kind of like, he was this working class gay dude from Pittsburgh, you know, with bad skin and weird hair, you know. How do you find the center of the world? Well, you create your own little weird space and you say, that's the cool place to be, baby. It's the factory.
At a certain point, do you have to make yourself the cool place or the cool, like... You does it because that's kind of because that's sort of what Warhol was doing is kind of what you're describing a little bit, like, well, you overpriced real estate, so we can't have a physical space. Do you have to make the person and wherever the person, do you have to make yourself a self as space? Okay, now we're getting very we're breaking down barriers here. We're getting a little existential.
But the thing is the thing also is that it's about fun. It's about community. I mean, these days, you know, there was a book that came out a few years ago called, you know, NYC versus MFA versus NYC. And it's like, if you're an artist these days, how do you network with people?
Right.
But the thing is that that's like a false binary because these days the internet is the other part of that. And the internet is that place for a lot of artists. And for us, we represent, you know, once a month. We have people come into our house, but we also are constantly networking, building relationships, finding out about great work online 24 hours a day with folks from other states. And we have them come in and we host them at our series or we travel. Boo was at this really great reading last year. Was it Denver?
Yeah, Denver, the Catch Fest by Catch Business.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing, you know, that's the beauty of the internet and social media is connecting us when you know, without a house physically, without the physical structure. But it's also, it seems like, especially with both of you, but also for Brew, it's kind of, you're kind of using it as an impetus for projects and creative projects, because you did something where you worked with Twitter bots to, as like, if you want to describe that a little bit, how you use Twitter bots to create pieces of literary work. This is really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So I was thinking about like how we create so much content for technology, but like how technology can help us create content, like the reverse. And so I've been playing a lot with Twitter bots. I have so many. I have a farm of Twitter bots by now. I have my Twitter Tinder bot, which pulls all the information from people who have sent me Tinder messages and puts that out there in the world. I have a Rupi Kaur bot, which is a famous poet who takes all of her lines and randomizes them spits out poems on Twitter. And then you can kind of see how each of those lines work. I have a poem that plays with the cliche in poetry where it's like the blank of you, the ghost of you, the beach of you. And my bot will be like the IKEA of you, the like fucked up McDonald's trash cup of you, and like weird shit like that. But my favorite bot is a bot based on my own Twitter, Who is Mary Boo. This bot is called Who is Mary Bot. And it takes all of my tweets and uses that vocabulary and that language and all of that and kind of spits out like weird stuff, and it gets gradually smarter and smarter. And I've been using all of that text and appropriating that for my poetry and kind of like being every poem is like also in collaboration with this bot.
It's kind of like a rolling of the dice, like except if you had dice and on each like face of the die, you wrote like a line from poetry and you put it in something and you shook it and you spit it out, except your machine is, it's kind of, that's what I'm like visualizing here. It's kind of like, I'm going to take bot technology and flip it to make something creative and fun, which is, it's like, wow, that's actually really like that. Talk about a new use for a bot. Like that's really using social media, like, and kind of like taking something and going, well, I don't need it for that.
It's a playful object,
but it creates really cool stuff. On the subject also, so, we were talking about technology. We're talking about the new, where poetry is right now. You've got the monthly series, which is that Pete's Candy Store. Is that correct?
Yes.
For people who not in the know, Cool as Fuck is at Pete's Candy Store, which is on Lorimer. It's a very cool space. You should go check it out. You go feel like you're in the little spaceship, like in the little spaceship that's like a gypsy caravan in the back there. Am I describing that accurately?
So accurate. So
but
accurate.
Way cool. Like yes, you do feel like you're in someone's really kind of special living room. We invite us into the living room. That's it really is. Go for the aesthetics, people, if not for the poetry. No, really. Go
and
for
the
everything.
Grilled cheese sandwich.
And the grilled cheese and the great beer and the great, yeah, it's a cool jam. That's Pete's my jam. So also on the subject of technology though, so I have not yet been to see it, but Bill, you and I, and we were all talking about the David Bowie exhibit at the Brooklyn Museum. Check it out, y'all. I have not seen it yet, but you felt that has inspired some writing from you, or that you felt the use of technology. That was a good example of use of technology and its role in writing and poetry.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a little bit for those who haven't seen it?
Spoilers ahead for those of you who haven't seen the Bowie exhibit. What's really interesting about the show is that essentially it's a costume show. Like his various costumes from different periods in his career, those are the real stars of the show, I felt, right? And the title of the show is David Bowie Is. And it's kind of like, okay, if you get your Twitter bot, maybe, you know, you end up with interesting results. But the whole idea is creating presence from absence. And, you know, alongside all of the costumes, there's a lot of ephemera.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're a David Bowie fan, great. You know, you could see the original lyrics for a song or this or that or the other thing. But to me, you know, the strongest things that were art in and of themselves were the costumes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the subject of poetry, you know, the technology of the show was very contextual. Like they gave you headphones and you would wander throughout the space, and each room would be synced to a specific audio track.
Huh.
Yeah, it was in that way. It was similar to the Bjork show at MoMA.
Okay.
Right. So you wander through at your own pace, and each room has its own soundtrack. And in one of the recited parts of it, Bowie's talking about how he always wanted to be a writer. You know, it's like music was sort of like an afterthought for him, or it's something that a side business that became the main business. And you know, it's interesting that he never lost that aesthetic in the sense, like, for me, the most interesting object in the whole show was something called the Verbalizer. Mm-hmm. And the Verbalizer was his own 1995 equivalent of a Twitter bot. Okay. So he hired somebody to build a bot that would scrape headlines and auto-generate random lines from them. And he used that in his songwriting. As a matter of fact, I believe there's some YouTube videos online that you can watch about him explaining how it works and how he used it in his own songwriting process.
It's interesting because I remember, I'm sure you and listeners out there remember a great hit of the 90s, Losing My Religion by REM. And one of the things about that song was that it was written like a series of phrases. It wasn't telling a story. It was so interesting the way he wrote it. Members of the band said, we basically wrote a song of a stream of phrases, which sounded good together and it kind of made sense, but it was like, what is he trying to say? What's the message? No, I'm not telling a story. It's not a love song. It's not this song. Or it could be all those things. I'm basically pasting together a bunch of phrases. I think we were already dealing with the concept of a bot. We didn't call it that then, was already happening like 25, 30 years ago. The idea of like, we're just going to randomize, you know, the eight ball, you shook it, but there would be a song lyric every time. I think that's been with us longer than we realize, the whole bot concept.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that formally, I guess it goes back as far as, you know, Brian Gysin and William Burroughs and the whole cut up concept, and, you know, by cutting up this material, basically it's the third mind. I just feel like these days, technology is now that third mind. So that I just feel like, you know, I never really talked to you about this, Mary. This is good. But it's like, you know, we were in the Romantic age, you know, of art, and we've been in the Romantic age for a long time. So it's kind of like, you know, you go out and you look at the moonlight and you write a poem about this woman you're in love with, or a guy you're in love with. But now it's not just you in the moonlight and the oversoul or whatever. It's you, the moonlight, and, you know, Google, or, you know, or one of Mary's trash bots helping you write your piece. And I feel like that is a paradigm shift, kids. And I don't think anyone's really talking about that. And the thing is that Mary and I don't talk about these things, but we have like a similar mindset on these right. These sort of things. Like I write poems, or I have a whole book of poems that's almost done, as a matter of fact, based on Facebook posts. And the whole idea is like, you take somebody else's trash, or you take a bunch of trash that you've scraped off the internet manually, and you munge them into a poem. And
it's real wordsmithing there, but in a different way. You know, you're really manipulating, working with words, like understanding the beauty of the structure of a word.
It's language. It's also like, and, you know, again, you can disagree with me, Mary, if you want. It's more like a performative I. It's not, you know, I as in me. It's an appropriated I or a sampled I. What do you think?
Yeah, like almost NSAI. Like, what would they see if they're party I?
Exactly.
If their bot did poetry.
Yeah.
If their trash
or
bot.
Or like, what is Mark Zuckerberg seeing from all the acquired information?
If he was up late and feeling like, like creative. Let's
yeah. Mark Zuckerberg.
It's interesting take, you know, using the technology to make the art, but the art, it's the synthesis, the synchronicity with all of it. You're listening to Here and Now with Rachel C. My guests are Mary Anderson and William Lessard. Bill he's been writing a long time. He's appeared everywhere. The Brooklyn Rail, Hyperallergic Prelude, Fanzine, Heavy Feather Review. Am I missing anything? You've also, your work's also been featured at MoMA PS1. You're not only co-hosting Cool as Fuck series right now, but you are an editor at Boog City. Mary, as we previously mentioned, had an installation at The Brick. She's also co-producing the show over at Pete's Candy Store. You've got the Twitterbot project. You've been featured in Hobart, Spy Kids Review, Peach Mag, Metatron. You also have, we'll get into this in a moment also, the faux TED Talk, the fake TED Talk thing. I love a lot of this flipping, the taking of popular things and like flipping it on its head and making art out of it. It's great. But I wanted to interject in case anyone's just tuning in now, just let people know, like, this, you guys have, we talked about where things are right now. You guys have been around for a long time and are doing so much, and it's, I thank you for being a part of this and trying to revive something and make, but also not reviving it, but making it fun, because it should be fun. Poetry can be fun. It's not meant to be lame. It could be interactive. It could be multidisciplinary. It could be, it really can be. And it sounds like you're bringing that to life at the Cool as Fuck show. One other thing before maybe we take, I know, maybe a little music break. What else are we seeing in poetry as the where it is today? One thing we've talked about before the show also is the attempts to bring humor back. Apparently it's not okay to be funny anymore. When I was doing this, I felt pressured to be funny. Like when I said I was doing this, when I was like on stage three nights a week, back in like 2003, just like I read anywhere I could. I almost felt like I had to be funny because that helped keep the audience. But I don't know if it was also because I was always surrounded by comics and therefore I'm competitive and have to be as funny as the next person. But anyway, yeah, exactly. So when were you not allowed to be funny? Like when, I mean, don't we use humor to cope? I mean, or it's, we, you know, obviously, I guess we're living in serious times, so we don't want to seem not serious, but.
Yeah, I mean, my point of view, Mary has her opinion, I guess, is the people are responding against or reacting against or overcompensating for the whole stand-up aesthetic, mm-hmm. You know, the expected performativity of the slam poetry.
Okay.
So they're just going to go out there and they're going to tell you their truth, and damn it, it is all sad. It is sad, sad, sad. It's like sad on demand. And I can understand. I mean, there is some very serious, very sad things happening. But I myself, you know, I'm 52 years of age. I have a lot of sadness in my life. It's like Marley's ghost with all the friggin' chains. I don't need your sad. I got my own sad. Thanks, you know? Make me laugh here.
You need Ebenezer on Christmas Day, just like...
That's what I'm saying.
Losing his head laughing.
Okay. You know, like the piece that I got in MoMA, right? Basically what I did is I took a bunch of hamburger menus and I cut them up. And I made a burger of burger menus. There was like burger with blah, 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 blah. And it was all found material. And I did a video with my friend. And that's how we ended up in MoMA. But Boo is like super funny. Like she's like a really funny performance artist. And that's kind of, and she knows I'm kind of a ridiculous person. And that's how we kind of do our thing.
This is who needs to be doing a literary stage thing. This is, I'm just throwing that out here. What trends do you see? Or like, yeah.
That's really interesting because for me, I come from an art background. I went to art school. And so how I got into poetry was actually really, really funny poetry on the tail end of like the alt-lit scene where there was all these like internet poets. And this one like famous kind of YouTube poet named Steve Rogenbuck was kind of my intro into it. And for those of you who don't know him, he was just like this YouTube guy. He would do wacky voices and his poems would be like, let's just frick shit up. Let's get up here. Let's put Marxism on the air. And he had all these like weird dick jokes. And he was a hardcore vegan and just like all this stuff. It was like off the wall, like it was all selfie style. And he would have weird like clips of Walt Whitman and stuff. And just like super positive, super hilarious. And that's where I was like, I got to get in on this. Like, this is really funny and genuine and like getting the point across and affecting people in like a new, weird, sincere way.
Cool, cool. On that note, since we've gotten very heavy here, let's have a very brief music break. We're going to listen to something from former guests, The Falling Birds, followed by soon-to-be guest Castle Black. We'll kick things off with Let's Rewind.
I fell in love and let's rewind. Thank you.
And we're back. We're listening to Here Now with Rachel C. If you missed any of tonight's broadcast or you just want to hear the whole thing all over again, tune in this Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern. I'm joined by Bill and Mary of the Coolest Fuck Literary Series. So we've been talking about the state of poetry today. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to talk, this is a show where people come on and make art live on the radio. And you guys are both artists. Mary, I was going to ask you to read a little something. But first, if I can ask about these like fake TED Talks you're doing. So let's talk about that because I think this is great.
So the TED Talks start from this like weird... Another social media pop reference. It started from Tinder. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking about how all of our social media lives are so heavily curated. And, you know, you have to look a certain way or else you die alone. And so I thought it'd be funny if every day in the morning I only had one Tinder profile picture. And it would be the first picture I woke, like looked in the morning, like at 6 a.m. And so every day I would change my Tinder profile picture. And then I did a fake TED Talk based on that kind of performance already experiment. Like reviewing my results and kind of like looking at the pictures of people and myself and
is that kind of speaks to the fact that TED Talks, like as you put it, have been kind of diluted a little bit. Like it used to be you didn't get a TED Talk without the resume already. And now it's like you need to have a TED Talk on your resume. Like it's, I mean, great that things become more open because there could be great ideas out there that are well presented, but it was outside the box thinking from people who already had like, you know, the CV.
Yeah,
to stand
exactly.
On.
And now it's like almost anyone. Now there's parodies of it and there's YouTubes of it. And there's like drunk TED Talks where comedians kind of just like do their thing on like,
joking
off. Yeah, how things turn
I
out.
Really liked my souffle. I'm going to do a TED Talk on it. Yeah. Like that is where TED Talks are as opposed to like, this is the scientific breakthrough that will cure.
Exactly.
Okay. So you had a little something to read.
We were talking about my Twitter bot earlier, mm-hmm. So I thought I would read something.
Okay.
So this is all text appropriated from my Twitter bot. It's called Untitled August 11th, 2017, in collaboration with Who is Mary Bot? Oh, it's on Hobart Magazine, by the way, if you want to read it. I need to flirt offline, a photo series of coarse models from the floor, and I cry for a bunch of breath thinking about capitalism. You and I feel more important to sex. Could be us real life, and how many regrettable dating someone who lack empathy, my kink. Okay, I'm deaf, still beautiful, even myself as a graveyard, a bath so rich. A crush replays your time/energy, the tallest point in pink light. Considering becoming a tweet, why is a book to reach maximum insufferability? There's always money and time, happy with sharing our total annihilation. The same coupon over every season, 50% off. I've been socialized to be alive. The quiet death of women eating salad. She died in government, love feeling shitty. Donald Trump appropriating sad culture redefined success. Redefined success to a summer romance. Redefined success to make a crush. My kink is an impending.
That's great.
Thanks.
So it's a Twitter bot. Like if someone, is this something that you're posting and someone wanted to follow it, they could follow it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
So where would someone follow this? Because this is really fun.
So my regular Twitter is Who is Mary Boo? And then my Twitter bot is Who is Mary Bot?
Who
is Mary B-O-T.
Okay, that's so someone, is this, do you want to do another one? We have a little time.
Yeah, sure. I have a poem that I usually read with my collaborator T-Pain, but I can read it without.
Okay.
It goes like this. I'm sending you a snap in the office bathroom. No filter. Here's 3 seconds. My blotchy face. A sliver of my bare thigh in the toilet seat. Things you don't see. The bathroom lights turning off because I've been sitting still for way too long. My greasy hair ridden with dandruff because I can't stop picking at my scalp. Always thinking of good lines without having a pen, dreaming without making any concrete plans. If you look at someone long enough, do you feel closer to them or farther away? Bart Simpson writing on the chalkboard, I will not fall in love with someone over the internet, over and over and over again. I like words, but I love when they start to lose their meaning. The most important thing when drawing something accurately is looking at it for a long time and really, really seeing it, making sure your brain doesn't fill in the blanks with what it wants. I'm peeling off my fingerprints for you and showing you the small bits of translucent skin. I'm replaying the snap of you until I forget what I want you to mean.
It's a thing, like, that's your bot, like, kind of poem.
Oh,
but
no, that was like a...
I was about to say, that doesn't sound like... And also, there was a way in which you were presenting that and reading it. And even the one you did before that, there's something about... This is why I go out and see people do this in poetry. It gives... You're reading it in such a way and presenting it that there's... It's got a whole other layer to it. So I'm going to switch it over to Bill. Bill, you had a little something for us also?
Yeah, I'll read.
Okay.
So first of all, now you see why she's my colleague here. This lady's
I was already sensing that, but for listeners at home who aren't here in the studio.
Yeah, for those of you playing along at home, now you know she's a total fucking wise ass. This is why we're friends. Okay. So I'm going to read a few of my Facebook poems here. And actually, Mary, this is really like weird, but she... actually published them with this magazine that she edits as well called Glitter Mob. But anyway, enough preamble. Facebook 4817. Friend or quest from smartphone carved in cheddar. Favorite Eagles song, Hotel California. Facebook 42117. Boyfriend totes wants to move to New York City. Like if I should follow. Comment if I should continue dreaming inside this skull glazed with rhinestones. Being alive on a Friday is one of the stupidest things you can do. Grubhub wants to deliver an uncooked box of rice for the price of an entree. Boyfriend is totes about New York City because he thinks New York City people know how to wear hats. Today I read a story about an etiquette class for newly rich Chinese. The Chinese pay $16,000 to learn how to pronounce the names of luxury brands. Training also includes the proper way to match hats with the yawn of your skull. Being alive any day of the week is not something I'd recommend if you can't laugh milk through your nose. Boyfriend laughs milk in a solid stream. Boyfriend thinks we should be the ones teaching the Chinese. Totes add nasal lactose effusion as a premium service. Like if you would spend $16,000 to learn nasal lactose effusion. Comment if everything you know, everything you need to know, is skull glazed with rhinestones. Boyfriend is leaving for New York City tomorrow. Boyfriend has promised that we can totes fly there as a pair of turtle doves. Facebook 12017. Somebody in Williamsburg broke up with screenwriting, Dungeons and Dragons, Borges, and Tibetan Buddhism all in one night. Ourselves are books raised into piles that lean into January sunlight. Gray swatches patching over spark of miracle. Word of the day, catastrophilia, or what it means when despite the mess you've made, somehow you still get dessert on the house. Facebook 8917, friend request from great gorilla who nudges aside an Excel spreadsheet to say hello. I'll read one. What, you want me to read one more?
One more.
Yeah, okay.
One more.
I don't want to be that guy. Hold on. Facebook 9817. Like Amazon, I'm opening a second headquarters. 5 inches to the right of a cushion I've named Diogenes. My safe place is a struck blade that forks me at the center. Sometimes I order products dropped in a spare bedroom behind my eyes. Place is not a place. Place is where brand confirms its ubiquity. Someone asks how the blue expanse of these keys has turned me. I tell them they are talking to a fiction. To know me is to friend my simulation. Why else do we come here except to grow new selves to carry back to the world? Infant ontology, on-demand quantified biology. Walmart aisle 36B oblation. At 2 a.m., tag photo of the ground that ripples around you. Mark yourself safe in the slow disaster that is breath. Body is place with condemned sign hung across its door. Life is knowing when the cloud is parked at your window. Life is you walk out, footfall to sky.
Thank you for sharing all that. Yeah, I'm so glad to have some poetry on the program here this evening. You guys, one thing I'll mention also is you're both working on a an anthology right now, right?
Yes.
So I'm still chewing on all that poetry right now. You're working on it. If you want to tell us a little bit about that, you're both working. That's
just announced. there's this cool kid publisher based in Manchester, Dostoevsky Wannabe, and they're launching a cities project, and they're going to be doing Manchester, obviously, Berlin, Madrid, Portland, and. With us, they're also going to be doing Brooklyn.
All right. So there'll be you're editing an anthology of Brooklyn poets.
Yeah.
So and when do we expect this to be released? Where does someone get info on that? When they want to know when it's coming out so they can snatch that up?
October. It's October, and it's Dostoevsky Wannabe Cities.
Dostoevsky Wannabe Cities is coming out in October. Please keep me abreast of everything. And we'll make all the announcements on the show. So we kind of talked about the state of things as they are. We're kind of working backwards today a little bit. How did you guys come together to work? And from there, Mary talked about having been an art school student. Bill, we didn't talk about how you started getting involved in all this, but how did you guys come together to and meet and collaborate?
Do you want the made up version or do you want the real version?
The real version.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say that there was a plane crash. We wound up on this island, and this island had this strange.
I might have seen through that.
That would not have been credible. And then there were these people who were on the island. They called the Others, and they had a creative writing program hosted by this, prominent writer,
that's
Dr. Ben
story.
Linus.
You're sticking to it.
It's not working.
No.
No, you're not believing me. Okay. No, we just kind of met around the scene.
Okay.
Know? Yeah, that's how.
And it kind of came together and decided to work on this thing. Mary, again, you talking about art school. Bill, how did you come into this scene? How did this all happen?
By accident, desperation, the usual things. No, I mean, what happened with me is that I'm a very working class guy. I'm the guy from Brooklyn I'm the guy from the Bronx, represent the Bronx. I'm the guy in the Bronx who was reading Baudelaire. But the thing is that you're from the Bronx and you like Baudelaire. And, that shit's not cool, And I kind of kept my interest in writing and literature on the down low for most of my life. And a few years ago, a very close friend of mine committed suicide. I don't think Mary knows this story. And I'm like, well, I better do this thing now rather than wait any longer. And it was kind of like, hey, there's this weird guy in his 40s and he wants to join, the NBA, and I'm like lacing up. And it's like, geez, a lot has happened since Jack Kerouac, I have a lot of life experience and I also work in technology during the day and being around the scene and getting to know people and hanging out with cool people like Mary, you kind of learn what else people are doing and your work is a reaction to it.
Right. It's one of those now's the time stories. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that both of you, that brings a lot to, you're bringing a lot to the table. And I'm so glad you're doing this. I think the art needs you, and you're really giving something. I know you feel like you're giving something and taking something, but you're really giving something back out there. I'm into the poetry. I'm into writing. I like this idea. I want to be interested when I go out and be engaged. I like the poetry as performance. Who do I go and see, aside from obviously the Coolest Fuck Show monthly at Pete's Candy Store on Lorimer Street in Brooklyn? Where, who are you checking out? You guys checking out? Who are you reading? Who, where else would one go? I work on Tuesdays. I can't go. Like, what do you got? What would you guys recommend?
There's a really cool series. I don't know when it, you would know better than I. There's a series called Flapper House that happens once a month.
Flapper House. Okay.
Yeah. At the Pacific Standard. It's really cool. Really cool readers you'd never heard of. And they have like music involved too. Really fun. And as far as books, I'm currently reading this book that was just released a couple weeks ago called The People's Elbow. And it's about, it's by Rax King. And it's kind of a mix, her experience with sexual assault and her romanticism of The Rock. And it's like a really interesting dichotomy how like fantasy and realism like kind of come together to like help us all cope. I really recommend it.
And oh, and that was my cue to say something. Okay. You know, like Volume One Brooklyn is a really cool website. They have like an afternoon feature and it's like things to check out. The Rumpus has a really good calendar, happenings around New York City. So you can like see like what's happening. But the thing is also is like, you know, there's very, very small imprints, you know, that publish books. So, you know, just to shout out a few of them, Prelude Books and Prelude Magazine based here in Brooklyn, Nightboat, they do a lot of hip shit. Brooklyn Arts Press, really good shit. Omni Dawn, Stalking Horse Books, all do very cool things. You should check out all their stuff. In terms of like really like current new books that I'm reading, Camp Marmalade is really cool. It's by Wayne Kestenbaum. Really fun stuff. A book that just came out the other day from our friend, Joanna C. Valente, Sexting the Dead. What else? You know, if you really want something that's current, you know, Lynn Melnick, she wrote a book called Landscape with Sex and Violence. I'm going to be reviewing that. I also review things when I'm not doing all these other things.
You're just engrossed in doing... Bill is really engrossed in the literary world. You know, he's performing, he's writing, he's producing this, but you're also kind of like, you're actually reading and writing these professional reviews and doing all of that.
Yeah.
Those who don't know Bill, Bill and I have kind of known each other a little bit through social media for a while, but just meeting you for the first time in person tonight, but can see very engrossed in that. And I'd be surprised if you weren't like co-producing a literary stage series. So we talked about, once again, Cool as Fuck, and it's monthly on Tuesdays. Which Tuesday of the month is it? First, second, third?
The fourth.
The fourth. So last Tuesday of every month, you go to Pete's Candy Store. It starts on Tuesday evening. And this is the kind of poetry reading series experience you want to go to because things are being read, but they're being performed. But which isn't to say they're overdone. Like, you can go and check out this sort of thing. I can't recommend this enough if you want to do something a little different, but also you want to really experience the art of the word. That's the way to do it. And also definitely check out at Mary Bott. Check out all the things Bill just told you about. You guys will be reposting these things on our social media. I invite you to stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney at 8 p.m. Next week, tune in. Jaime Rojas will be here. We're getting a lot of literature in for Poetry Month. Thank you for being a part of this. Thanks for helping me kick off April. Thanks for bringing some poetry here. We're going to close things out now because this hour goes too quickly. This is new music. It pays to submit to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a band called Nowhere Land. This is Catch a Body. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.